آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. جزاكم الله خيرا. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. To one and all, Allah accept us for His deen. Allah سبحانه وتعالى, with His will, amazing things happen. Now there's a research that they're researching why the earth is going slower and how it's halting in its speed and what an impact it's having on the seasons because of the motion and the tilting of the earth and so forth and so forth. And then as they're analyzing, as it goes slower, it comes to a point where the earth comes to a total stop. The movement of the earth, its motion, is anti-clockwise. And that is the natural way. That's why our subhanallah, our tawaf is also anti-clockwise. Alhamdulillah, by Padiya Rahmatullah, we will exhort people or encourage them just to even do everything anti-clockwise. Even when you're stirring your tea, do it anti-clockwise. Anyway, when it comes to a stop, it then restarts in the other direction, which is clockwise, and that's not the natural way. And now when it starts moving, obviously it takes time to take off, like anything naturally. And as it takes off, at that time, due to its slow motion, it would take a year for a day to pass. And then it would take a month for a day to pass. And then a week, and so forth, and so forth. And then, subhanallah, exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said 1400 years ago. Subhanallah. That this was what would happen. And now they are coming to see this. Now imagine we show them these ahadith of our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So many of the ahadith of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So profound. Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam expressed even that Arabia would become fertile again. وَسَيَعُودُ بِلَادُ الْعَرَبِ مُرُوجًا وَأَنْهَارًا. The fact that it would become before Judgment Day pastures of greenery. Subhanallah. Areas that were bitterly cold are becoming so hot and warm. Areas that were hot and scorching are now receiving snow. And they're becoming like meadows. But what's interesting in the hadith is وَسَيَعُودُ. It would happen once, it would return to that state. And that wording of the hadith shows that historically, years and years ago, centuries ago, millenniums ago, it was at one stage a meadow of greenery. That's what we learn about the history of those lands, how people would travel, and it would be so lush and so green. And yes, it was Allah's wisdom why it remained a desert, because what would have happened to Arabia in the early stages when Europe would have known, or the Romans and the Byzantinians and people of the colonizers would have known what the beauty of those lands. And it's not just deserts. They would have, you know, expropriated and oppressed the people there. Allah Ta'ala made this as a protective mechanism. Subhanallah, the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala when you think over these things. But what's astonishing is the hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that it would become meadows of greenery and green pastures once again. Subhanallah. So many of the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The fact that surrounding the Kaaba, there would be a lot of pipes, could be referring to the tunnels that are there. It could also be referring to the water supply and the water lines that are there. The fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that the mountains, that the buildings around the Kaaba would be loftier than mountains. A'la min al-jibal. All of this Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned. The fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that Bedouins who were involved in animals and livestock, shepherds, would now be competing with each other in building skyscrapers. Exactly the words of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is unraveling right before our very eyes. Imagine there's an amazing hadith. Hazrat Abu Sa'id Khudri's hadith, radiallahu anhu, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, by that being in whose hand is my life, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, judgment won't occur until even the wild animals will start speaking to the people. وَحَتَّى تُكَلِّمَ الرَّجُلَ عَذَبَةُ سَوْطِهِ, even the edge of a person's whoop would speak to him. The lace of a person's shoe will speak to him. His thigh, وَتُخْبِرُهُ فَخِذُ, would tell him what's happening at home. بِمَا أَحْدَثَ أَهْلُهُ بَعْدَهُ. Allah knows the exact meaning. But so many of this seems to be so clear. His thigh is speaking to him. In Arabic, it's such a language of rhetoric and beauty and eloquence. Subhanallah. His thigh can also mean what is by his thigh, what is kept in the pocket next to the thigh. From there he can know what is needed at home, what's happening at home. This comes in Tirmidhi. The hadith about the pipes around the Kaaba, is in Ibn Abi Shayba, Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba, with quite a few chains of report that makes the hadith sound. It's the same hadith about the lofty buildings around the Kaaba and so forth. That's Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu's hadith. Even the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُقَاتِلُكُمُ الْيَهُودِ, the Jews will fight you. And Allah would then give you victory over them. فَتُسَلَّطُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ. To such an extent, at the end, the stone would even speak and say, Ya Muslim, come, O Muslim. Hadith muttafaqun alayh. But what's interesting is, what's very, very pertinent here is the ummah comes together. Ya Muslim. The tree doesn't say, O Arab, O Palestinian, or whatever faculty, or Indian, or African. No, we are one ummah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam united us. Subhanallah. In Tabrani, Nuhayk bin Sarim radiallahu anhu's report, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you'll definitely fight against the mushrikeen until the remainder of you would fight against Dajjal. Ala nahril urdun. Near the river, the Jordan River. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed and said, antum sharqiyuhu wahum gharbiyuhu. Oh my ummah, you would be on the eastern side of the Jordan River, and they would be on the western side. Hazrat Nuhayk said, I heard this hadith. I didn't know where was Urdun at that time. But subhanallah, how indebted are we to the Sahaba kiram radiallahu anhum. They remembered the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they preserved it for us. And that's exactly what's going on today. Exactly as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that is how everything is being situated. That's why very interesting is the fact that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite Surah Bani Israel, and also known as Surah Al-Isra, every night. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, Surah Zumar and Surah Bani Israel, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite every night. I would exhort everyone, read these chapters, and also learn from the ulama the meaning of these chapters. Today is Friday, we should read Surah Al-Kahf. Allahu Akbar, Allah give us all tawfiq. But we should read this Bani Israel and so forth. Hazrat Imran bin Hussein radiallahu anhu's report, this is in Tirmidhi, a sahih report. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in this ummah, there would be transformation. People metamorphosized into something else, different appearances. And they would be such explosions, rained with stones, some sorts of different sorts of explosions, and rained with stones, qadf. One of the Muslims asked, O Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when would this happen? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when musical instruments and different sorts of them become apparent and glaringly, openly perpetrated. Allah help us, respected ummah. Imagine today, Muslims in nikahs and functions, open defiance of the orders of Allah, no consideration whatsoever, just put open music and intermingling between sexes. Imagine, Allah help us, O respected ummah. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us of the repercussion of such open defiance of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could we? Our Allah who is doing everything for us. Allah is blessing you with that nikah. Allah is blessing you with this wife, with this son-in-law, with your daughter-in-law. Exhort your family that Allah is blessing me. How can we defy Allah? How can we openly, flamboyantly, arrogantly disobey Allah? How could we? What pleasure could there be in that, respected ummah? And definitely shaitan would entice us that if you don't do it according to the norms and the Jones, what will the people say? What will my friends say? Do we ask ourselves, what will my Allah say? There's a beautiful hadith in Sunan Ibn Majah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Allah will say, O my banda, on judgment day, what stopped you from telling the people the truth and doing the right thing? The banda of Allah will say, Allah, I was scared of the statements of people, khashyatun nas, the reactions of people, meeting the people, I was scared. Allah will say, O my banda, فَإِيَّايَ كُنْتُ أَحَقْ أَن تَخْشَى. You are supposed to fear Allah and not the people. There's another amazing hadith of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu from Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed it openly and he said, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَان. A time will come upon the people. يُخَيَّرُ فِيهِ الرَّجُلِ. A person would be put at loggerheads. He would be put in a situation where he would be made to choose بَيْنَ الْعِجْزِ وَالْفُجُورِ. That he must be labeled backward and deemed weak and slow and backward by his community, his friends, his associates, or he must perpetrate the wrongs that they also do. Well, fujur, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have to face such a difficulty, such a situation where you put at this loggerhead, where you have to make the choice, فَمَنْ أَدْلَكَ ذَلِكَ الزَّمَانِ, and this indicates that this would become a common thing at that time. If you live in that time where defiance becomes so common, disobedience to Allah becomes so common, and those who please Allah and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes like the gharib and the wayfarer and the stranger who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for, that blessings are for these strangers. When asked, who are they? Allah's beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that they are those who will preserve my sunnah when others would defy and go contrary and neglect it. Subhanallah. In this hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you are facing such a situation, فَلْيَخْتَرِ الْعِجْزِ, choose the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irrespective of their reaction, whether they label you or not, but never become like them. عَلَى الْفُجُورِ, choose my way and not their way. And that's what we learn. We are Muslims. We don't say, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. We learn in our deen, even if Allah takes you to Rome, my brother, you follow the sunnah of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever you're traveling, if you're going for business, you're going for work, you're going with your family, make sure we uphold the sunnah. Make sure we practice the deen. Make sure we stop for salah. Make sure we give the adhan. Make sure we read our Quran. Make sure we establish the halaqas of ta'lim. Make sure we carry some literature. So wherever we go, we can exhort and encourage and motivate people to see the beauty of deen, and we share and show akhlaq and character with people wherever we end up. Subhanallah. Reach out to the people. Not long ago in Bloemfontein, wherever you stop, you perform salah. The people are so approachable. The Sotho community, the Afrikaner community, how people want to know about the deen, how people appreciate it when you tell them about Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and that he's mentioned in the Quran, and that he was raised to the heavens. The same hadith, subhanallah, 1808. See the beauty of that hadith, how when Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam returns, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, it would be the time of salah, and the Imam of the Muslims, seemingly Hazrat Mahdi radiyallahu an, would offer Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, out of respect, the musalla, to lead the Muslim ummah in prayer. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam would turn that offer down and exhort Hazrat Mahdi, the Imam, the leader of the Muslims, to lead the prayer. Subhanallah. How amazing is the fact that he is Allah's Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but he comes down to make this khidmah for the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he refuses to lead the prayer. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the hadith is in Sahih Muslim, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ أَيَّتُهَا الْأُمَّةِ. Imagine your status, how high your position is and would be, O my ummah. That imagine Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, إِذَا نَزَلَ ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ فِيكُمْ وَإِمَامُكُمْ مِنْكُمْ, Hazrat Ibn Maryam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam would come to perform prayer with you. He would descend as an ummati of sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the imam would be from you. Imagine how special, how amazing is the status of this ummah of the beloved of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam would perform that prayer with the Muslims, following the Imam of the Muslims. And that also is to teach us that he comes back as a follower of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's an amazing incident by Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, that another Nabi of Allah, Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam. What an amazing Nabi of Allah, subhanallah. It's so interesting that the ruler of his time threw him amongst hungry lions, and how Allah Ta'ala protected him, and Allah Ta'ala sent a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, another Nabi from another region, to take food for him and take care of him. And subhanallah, and it's so interesting that that Nabi of Allah was found, his body was totally intact when Sahaba were out in Allah Ta'ala's way, and they came across this body, and they verified it was the body. It was huge, a handsome, huge body, passed away millenniums ago. Whose body was it? Allahu Akbar. It was the body of Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam. And his request was that, O Allah, if you don't make me from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Allah, I request you that a follower And the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam must bury me. Imagine Sahaba and the Tabi'een, radiallahu anhum wa rahimahumullah, found him. They buried him, subhanallah, correctly according to the teachings of the Sunnah Mubarakah of sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And subhanallah, they wrote to Hazrat Umar, he gave them guidelines and so forth. And he said, send the man who found the body and died and identified the body first, because our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the man who finds the body of Hazrat Daniel alayhi salam, فَبَشِّرُوهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ, give him the good news of paradise. Hirqus rahimahullah found, subhanallah. So what we learn is so much there is of clear proofs of the greatness and the status of this ummah. So our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, irrespective of the time you live in, follow my sunnah. And what also makes this ummah very special is the previous umam did lots of ibadah, and we read about their lives, years and years of ibadah. Some of them would be so long in ibadah, they would remain decades in a place of prayer, in ibadah, in dhikr, in dua, in sujood. But what makes this ummah very special is the fact that coupled with ibadah, we also share and spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the responsibility that was upon Anbiya alayhim salam is the responsibility of the ummah, of this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we exhort and call humanity to the truth and to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll continue with the discussion with the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.